Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the Yanks Go Yard podcast with Adam Weinrib and Thomas Carinante.
Welcome to the Yanks Go Yard podcast. I'm Adam Weinrib alongside Thomas Carinante. Who's hungry? Who's hungry? Come and get some. Hey, is anybody taking a victory lap for the 2024 season already after one series? No. Nobody thinks the Yankees won the World Series. Nobody thinks the Yankees have clinched a playoff berth. Nobody thinks they've stamped their ticket. That said, is it fun to beat the Houston Astros four times in Houston, which has been a perennial house of horrors for these Yankees for over a half decade now? The Astros have been in the ALCS in 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23. Does it feel good to start them off 0-4 with three comeback wins and a late inning broken tie with two outs in the ninth thanks to Juan Soto, the culture changer they imported this offseason? Yeah, it feels pretty great. Marcus Stroman put his stamp on this series. Alex Verdugo put his stamp on this series. Caleb Ferguson in the bullpen and Nick Birdie put their stamps on this series. Ian Hamilton was here last year. He was pretty good, too. Oswaldo Cabrera was barely here last year and changed who he was as a ball player after watching Juan Soto work. Does that sound like a guy who you maybe want to keep around long-term? Aaron Judge and Anthony Rizzo and Gleyber Torres barely even showed up this weekend, and the New York Yankees offense worked walks. The New York Yankees bullpen did not allow a run. Spotless. Loaiza allowed some inherited runners. Clark Schmidt, sorry. And the New York Yankees, again, for the first time since 2003, are 4-0 on the season. This doesn't happen very often to anyone, really. And it definitely doesn't happen to teams that open the season in Houston against the Astros. The Yankees now 7-0 in their last seven against the Astros in the regular season. That includes the three-game series in Houston last year when Jason Dominguez debuted along with Austin Wells, and it includes this series where the tone was further changed thanks to Soto and the new additions. Nobody's taken a preemptive victory lap, but if the Yankees had lost this series or gotten swept in this series, I'm pretty sure Houston fans would have taken that victory lap. So we'll take a little one on their behalf. Sorry you weren't able to take that victory lap, Houston. But we'll take a short one on today's podcast where we'll break down exactly how the Yankees got here. Probably the best weekend of Yankees baseball, Thomas Carinante, since 2017. I mean, are we counting playoffs or are we counting regular season? This is easily the most fun I've had watching a start to the Yankee season pretty much ever as an adult, for sure. Reminiscent of that series to start the year against the Red Sox in 2022. But that was a three-game homestand and they lost the third one. So I would say four-game sweep in Houston with Juan Soto, mano a mano, beating Josh Hader in the finale. Clay Holmes somehow saving three of these four games was a little bit better. This was supposed to be an impossible schedule. At Houston, at Arizona, come home, face Toronto. Start that 4-0, you start feeling a little bit better about your chances. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Well, Google Podcasts folded, so I guess not there. Thomas Carinante, welcome to the show. And you can gloat a little bit before the ad read if you want to, or you could just read an ad. Either way, I endorse your decision.
I'm taking a victory lap. Why would you not? If we lose this series, we're schmucks if we lose this series, right? Oh, well, we told you Juan Soto for a year wasn't going to be enough to turn the Yankees around. And look, the Yankees aren't turned around by any means, but we saw a lot of differences with Juan Soto's presence in the lineup. We saw the pitching staff remain resilient against arguably a top three offense in the league. The Astros don't have any injuries outside of what, Verlander? Everybody else is fine.
Verlander and McCullers, they're going to cry about both of those.
Yeah, but the offense is fine.
The offense is fine. If Framber Valdez is not part of this team. Christian Javier, not part of this team. Josh Hader, not part of this team. Wait till you see the real Astros. What, you add a 42-year-old man?
Yeah.
Christian Javier is better than Justin Verlander right now. I don't know.
Beat everybody. I mean, I'm taking the victory lap. This was on the road. This was in an environment where we constantly fail. And the manner in which they won these games and came back was not at all representative of what the Yankees have been for the last 4 years. The last time we saw this kind of fight in the Yankees, in my opinion, was 2019, in terms of like the tenacity, the confidence, and, you know, the not having certain moments feel bigger than they are. Even the 2022 team, like, yeah, that first half of the season was amazing, but it was a tale of two halves, and the team's true colors, in my opinion, came out in the second half, which derailed the postseason run. Put bad vibes going into the playoffs because they nearly collapsed and lost a 15.5 game lead. So I'm taking the victory lap. We'll get more into it in a second, but for now, we got DraftKings here, folks. They're offering a fantastic, you better believe it, fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 first bet on any sport to instantly claim $150 in bonus bets when you sign up using our code. That code, Yanks Go Yard. Yanks Go Yard. Mm-hmm. The best part is that when you receive, the best part of this is that you will receive these rewards even if the first bet loses. Doesn't matter. Just got to punch in Yanks Go Yard at the sign-up. That gets you the bonuses. It also directly supports our podcast. You like us. It supports YanksGoYard.com. You like reading us. You like listening to us. Come on down. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, please make it official. Go use that code YanksGoYard to maximize those first bets and other offers DraftKings will eventually give you as your returning customer. But this offer is only available to new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. One more thing. That Juan Soto at bat yesterday against Josh Hader, I understand that it's going to be talked about everywhere and for good reason. But maybe what we're not paying the fullest attention to is the fact that I don't know the last time I saw a Yankees player taking a bat like that. And I'm not even exaggerating. It was just the entire approach. He's going – and look – that was great base running there by Gleyber Torres to steal second and put the team in a position to win because a Juan Soto single with a runner on first does not get that runner across. So not only did the Yankees set him up perfectly with that, he was going head-to-head with one of the best closers, relief pitchers in the modern era. Not one point in that at-bat did you think Juan Soto was going to get out. You just didn't. And it's been very hard to feel that way with a lot of Yankees hitters over the last few years, I think with the exception of maybe Aaron Judge's 2022 season where he broke the AL home run record. But even so, I think this was different because it was in a high-pressure situation. It was against an opponent that typically gets the best of us. And it was the complete opposite of what we had seen from the Yankees of the last few years go to extras in this game or they lose in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
Like that's just what has happened. We have evidence of it with their extra inning performances, with their overall offensive performances in high leverage situations. Juan Soto staring down Hader the entire time, being present in the batter's box, whether it was a strike, he's nodding, he's letting Hader know he threw a good pitch, whether it's a ball, he's popping out, he's doing the Soto shuffle, he's fouling off a pitch, he's gripping his bat, he's getting his stance ready. Like the attentiveness of Juan Soto is something that I think we need to really dial in on here because that was one of the most engaging at bats I've seen in 5 years. And
that couldn't be a better sign for what's to come for the rest of the season, because if the Yankees have this type of edge to them, it's going to change the entire complexion of 2024.
Yeah, Juan Soto, you're right. For not even 1 second did we think he was going down in that AB without a fight. Worst case, obviously, you know, I guess he missed one. He missed one earlier in the game. He popped one up, and you could tell immediately he was like, I should have, but I couldn't. Not for 1 second. When Hader would make a nasty pitch, he would shake his head a little bit, make it clear. He was like, all right, that's a good one. You got me. When Hader left one up, he would sort of nod at him like, you got away with one. I'm targeting you. I got what you got. I understand what you're throwing me. And then by the end of the AB, slice a single on the left. Slice isn't even generous enough for what he did. Looked like a slice, but he also hit it with extreme velocity, and Glaber would not have scored. By the way, if he wasn't running on the pitch after stealing second on Hader, Glaber did a brilliant job in that inning. He got lucky with the little duck snort hit, but he stole second on Hader's first move. Then he ran for third, and he does not score on that Soto laser unless he did that. So good job by him. You heard some Soto criticisms coming mostly from San Diego this winter when we traded him. Like, hey, best of luck. Obviously, the numbers are there at the end of the year, but when he's on your team, you'll be surprised at how passive he is sometimes. That's what they said. Like, he's looking for walks. And obviously, OBP is great, but, you know, he's looking for walks. So sometimes he'll defer, which is something you heard about Joey Votto for years. After four games of watching Juan Soto, I cannot imagine that being true. And I also just can't imagine, you know, maybe the difference is he never wanted to be in San Diego and he wants to be here. I understand it's harsh to say that. And I understand you get in trouble, you know, ruminating on a player's personal feelings four games into a regular season. And so I'm not going to be like, hey, Soto hates San Diego, Soto loves it here. But we heard about chemistry issues in San Diego. He looked like a more passive hitter, started in a rut last April, started in a hole. The Padres had the chance to hold Juan Soto this year and decided they would rather maximize the asset and trade him. But then they went for it otherwise. They trade for Dylan Cease. They bring in Michael King, who's a bona fide major leaguer, slots right into that rotation. The Padres didn't exactly throw in the towel this year because they've got Bogarts and Machado and Tatis entering their primes or leaving their primes, but still on the fringes. They got plenty of top-level major league talent, and they replaced Blake Snell with the pitching staff with Dylan Cease, so they didn't really even want to downgrade their contention chances, and they still traded Juan Soto away from that team. Almost like he maybe didn't fit there and fits better here. That's just sort of what it feels like.
It could very well be that. And you have to look at the other element of it, too, like with the expectations surrounding the Padres. I understand the Yankees have high expectations this year, but they've been more of a letdown. The Padres have been on the up and up for like 4 years, and they were finally reaching the pinnacle of what many thought that they could achieve with Juan Soto in the lineup, with A.J. Preller going for it with all these trades and seemingly a lot of them working out in their favor. Like, I don't think he got rid of anybody in those trades that you would regret moving for the talent that he got. So, you know, it adds all to it. The Padres also ton of clubhouse issues with Fernando Tatis Jr. And they could be over the hill with that for all we know, but there was some Manny Machado stuff, the Bob Melvin of it all, the A.J. Preller, you know, front office dynamic with the dugout and the coaching staff. A lot of stuff there that may have played into it that contributed to maybe Soto not being the best player he could possibly be. And then, you know, I think Soto's a guy who actually thrives on the different kinds of pressure. So I think the magnitude with which people are viewing the Yankees World Series hopes is something that he would thrive off of because of the spotlight and because of all that, rather than kind of the mishmash of personalities that was in San Diego. And they were kind of like, all right, see if this works. We took a lot of big swings. I think there's a little bit more stability in New York. I think Aaron Judge being the face of the Yankees is a little bit different than like Tatis or Machado being the face of the Padres. Aaron Judge is a bit of a more steady presence and is more of a fan favorite as opposed to those guys. Those are more polarizing figures. So I don't know. Either way, the edge here is I cannot stress it enough. I have not seen a Yankees player engage like that in an at-bat, dialed in on the pitcher, letting the pitcher know he's there, letting the pitcher know, hey, like, the pitch is going to come. I don't know when it is, but I'm going to kick your ass. And that's just what's happening here. And he did it all series. He's batting 525 with a 1.3 something OPS.
And you saw that the fact that he's that his success in the lineup is directly helping others. Anthony Volpe, great series outside of, I guess, diarrhea yesterday. Mm-hmm. Oswaldo Cabrera. Could we have asked for a better start from him after the DJ LeMahieu injury stuff? What else did the Yankees do this series? Small ball. They bunted. They stole bases. They made sound defensive decisions. It was diving plays from Soto, Verdugo, John Birdie saving the game yesterday.
John Birdie. And we haven't even got a chance to talk about John Birdie, but like, who gave us John Birdie? That should have been the moment you knew that this season was going to start a little bit differently. Really? Because we've railed in recent weeks, months, years about lack of intentionality on the bench. The Yankees just throwing whatever top prospects they have who failed last year onto the bench, or fringe guys like Jamai Jones. And we were like, they can't possibly be entering this season with three catchers and Jamai Jones rounding out the bench. You got Rortvedt and Trevino sitting there every day being like, I don't know, who's the backup catcher? You, me? Like, you can't do that. And it felt so silly, but so did putting six catchers on the 40-man. So I was like, it feels insane to be doing this, but we're getting to the eve of opening day and they're still here. So I guess we're going to start the season this way and then try to figure it out. Then boom, they trade Rortvedt and a top outfield, an 18-year-old outfielder who hit really well at the FCL last year. John Cruz hit 10 homers in complex league play. He could certainly turn out to emerge as somebody who helps the Marlins somewhere down the line. But the New York Yankees, with the outfield prospects they have right now at the upper levels and in the lower, everywhere, they've got outfielders everywhere. You should not hesitate to trade an outfield prospect who broke out in complex league play last year for an immediate major league upgrade in a win now season with Juan Soto technically in his walk year. They've got lots to sort out there, but bottom line, not under contract for next year. John Birdie isn't just an option to reinforce this team. He's the best bench option you could have hoped for. We were out there talking ourselves into Elvis Andrews and Tony Kemp. Mm-hmm. John Birdie is a much better baseball player than those guys right now. 41 stolen bases in 2022. He's a 280 hitter last year. He doesn't need to provide power. He just needs to provide speed, additional defense, versatility. And hey, if he wants to knock in some runs while he's at it, like he did yesterday with a two-out single in his first start, an emergency start because Anthony Volpe had Montezuma's revenge, then go for it. And guess what? You want to talk about the Soto at bat in the ninth inning yesterday? Absolutely incredible. Reminiscent of the best of the recent Yankees. Reminiscent to me of Alex Rodriguez in the 2009 World Series. That AB in the ninth inning, it's the Phillies, where it was just like, I'm the best player on this team. I'm going to prove that we have the best lineup in the game right now. Guess what? You can't get me out. You shouldn't have put Johnny Damon and Mark Teixeira on base. The Judge double the other day kind of felt like that hit too. It was like a carbon copy. But Soto doing that, obviously, big moment. Bottom of the ninth, Clay Holmes barely warms up. And Joe Girardi, who's been in the booth all weekend, was great in the booth all weekend, was all over this, said earlier in the top of the inning, I think with one out, so usually in a tie game, you'd be seeing Holmes warming up here for these Yankees. I guess he's probably down today because otherwise you'd want him up early so that he can get ready in case they happen to take the lead. It led everybody to speculate that he was probably down for the day. He wasn't because he had to come in, but he didn't warm up until they took the lead. Came in a couple of seconds later after a non-competitive at-bat to end the top of the ninth. And when he came in, slider, 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 tries a fastball. Jeremy Pena beats him to the spot. Victor Caratini pitch hit, immediate single. So he can't get the rust off his right arm. Two guys have already reached base, and they're the worst two guys in the lineup. Pena and pinch hitting Caratini. Jose Altuve is up with first and second and nobody out in a one-run game. Quick survey, Thomas. Do the Yankees win any games in the past several years where Jose Altuve, with no outs in the ninth inning down one, has a chance to walk it off against a shaky closer? Check your book. I don't know if you remember any opportunities where Jose Altuve, again, with nobody out,
no,
and with Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker behind him, started the failure train. Do you remember any examples of that happening?
I can't even believe that this came to, I mean, what was it? The Chad Green game?
Yeah, of course. And it doesn't happen. The Yankees probably still lose this game because Holmes is skittish and doesn't get time to warm up. And he's not throwing hard. He's not locating. They lose this game without John Birdie at third base.
Oh, 100%.
Who wasn't even supposed to be starting, wasn't supposed to be playing. knocked in a run with a single and makes an incredible headlong dive to rob Altuve. Yordan Alvarez's ball bounces 5 inches foul, and Alex Verdugo's on it immediately. Yordan Alvarez can't quite extend his arms all the way and turns what was almost a three-run home run to walk them off as well into a relatively long fly out to Aaron Judge. And then Kyle Tucker does what Kyle Tucker does, lines one in the left, because his swing is just so naturally inclined to do that. If the sinker's a little bit flat from Holmes, which it was, easy for him to serve that one in the left field. When he hit it, I thought it was going to hang up enough, and it did for Verdugo to make that catch. I wasn't really on edge. I was like, I think Verdugo's got this. And he comes in and makes that Andrew Benintendi diving catch from the 2018 Red Sox playoffs that ends that Houston game. When Benintendi did it, I was like, eh, not that impressive. You know, he was right there. And now that Verdugo's done it, I can't gush over it and say, hey, crazy play. But three very special moments in that game, in that ninth inning, none of which felt possible in an era before Juan Soto and Verdugo and Marcus Stroman and new hitting coach and new mentality helped fuel the Yankees.
Yeah, and look, in game one, I was being a little bitch. Those first
down
5 innings.
Down 3-0 immediately. Yeah, me too.
Load the bases 3 separate times, 3 double plays in the first, 3 inning-ending double plays in the first 4 innings. Aaron Judge looks hurt, in my opinion. Giancarlo Stanton whiffing on everything low and away. Team just, you know, it was more of the same. It was getting traffic on the bases and then nobody stepping up to do it. And then finally Soto does it in the fifth or sixth and notches his first Yankees RBI. And that opens the floodgates for everything else. I know it wasn't exactly the most inspiring after that. It was like Anthony Rizzo hit by pitch, Anthony Volpe 4-pitch walk because the Astros bullpen was kind of imploding. And then we had to wait for it was another Soto hit, Oswaldo Cabrera hit that eventually broke the dam. But you're sitting there for the first 5 innings and you're like, come on, like this is not how. And it was especially concerning because Framber Valdez was not having a good afternoon on Thursday, on opening day. And we weren't here. We weren't talking about it. We were writing about it and staying on top of the coverage. But that was more of what, you know, we saw a lot of strikeouts in spring training. We didn't see the best. We saw boomer bust offense in spring training, and it was a little bit concerning. And then you have these injuries hit the roster, and you're like, what is going to happen in this first series in Houston? Like, we could get swept in 4 games. And I know that's a loser's attitude, but, like, we sat here watching this team for months. We know we're no strangers to what happened less than a year ago when this team finished 82-80. They came around. They remain resilient. Soto and Verdugo acquisitions have been great. Stroman showed out. Clark Schmidt pitched exactly how you needed him. Again, that's the last starter in the rotation in theory. I'll take 5 1/3, 3 earned every day. I will. Some people were upset with that towards the end, but I'm like, well, what do you want? Like, that's – he's not blanking the Astros on the road in his first outing of the year, and he's definitely – he's probably not doing that many times this season against contending offenses. So you look at the guys who are supposed to be taking that next step and the guys who are new that came in, and everything kind of came together. So I apologize for being a little baby in that first 5 innings. But, man, when you're watching that live and you're trying to have fun to start the season because you got a clean slate and it's double play, it's weak ground out, it's an egregious strikeout where it's like you're not even swinging at any strikes – the fact that they came back from that after that start to, you know, come from behind 3 separate times and then break the tie late in the game on Sunday, absolutely incredible. And obviously it doesn't tell the story of the whole season, but this is a major shift. Again, a major shift from what we watched the last 3-4 years. This is the first time they started 3-0 or better since 2003.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy to me.
Yeah,
that's 20 years where they haven't won the first game of the season. They haven't swept the first series of the season. And you know, there have been some layup series in there too. It's been 20 years. Yeah, you look at the opponents the last 20 years. I don't think the Yankees had insane opening day opponents every single time. So
you know what the hardest series they've ever had to open the season was? This one.
This, hands down.
This one.
I don't remember a harder one than this.
And then they go to the NL champions from last year. Right. Obviously, the schedule was announced before the Diamondbacks made it to the World Series. So it wasn't MLB twisting their mustaches, being like, we got to send the Yankees to the NL champions after they get done with Houston. But at Houston for 4 is that's a ringer. Also, starting the season with 4-game series.
Yeah.
On the road. That doesn't usually happen.
How many other teams did that? Everyone got Friday or Saturday off.
Oakland and Cleveland played four, Boston and Seattle played four. But typically how it's done, I'm sure maybe somebody else did as well, but typically how it's done, you're on Thursday, you're off Friday, you're on Saturday, Sunday. That's typically how teams open the season. The Yankees have seven games with Houston this year. They've already gotten done with four of them, and they've already clinched the season series and playoff tiebreaker. That's why March, no victory laps in March. Houston fans coming out of the woodwork going, funniest Houston fan reaction I saw was like, great, you beat us at home where we stink. Cool, good job. Let's see you next series. Like the one at Yankee Stadium, like again, with the season series already decided.
Yeah.
You can't win a division in March. You can't get a playoff berth in March. The conventional wisdom is you can lose a playoff berth in April, but you can't get one. Hey, you know what? Aphorisms are fun. Maybe it'll turn out to be true. But you know what you can tangibly point to? The Yankees already having clinched the season series on the Astros, giving them playoff tiebreaker possibilities one series into the season.
Yeah.
I sure hope they sweep the Astros the next time they play them too and take all seven. But even if they lose all three, four Yankees, three Houston, that is over. It's already been decided. It's in the books. You've earned yourself something already.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We could talk about this series forever. We don't even, there's nothing else. I don't even want to entertain the Jake Cousins trade. Tanner Tully getting demoted or getting promoted in favor of Clayton Beter. There's a little bit of weirdness to start the season, but I think this series deserves its own, celebratory party podcast. Well, they'll lose at some point. They will lose a game at some point. We will have to look into the mirror and talk about how they got to get better with runners in scoring position. And I think your Aaron Judge theory, which I saw echoed in the comments, is spot on.
Sure.
I do think Aaron Judge is battling something, but wants to be part of the fun and doesn't want to leave the team this early or maybe get jealous of Juan Soto, give him a little bit of a leadership role. But so far, it was tough. Spring training was weird. Spring training games don't matter, and some people treat them like they matter, and some people treat them like they don't. Spring training was hard to get a feel for this. We kept insisting, like, hey, I think Juan Soto is actually underrated. And I think people are acting like the Yankees just added an all-star lefty and aren't acting like the Yankees added Juan Soto. He calls himself the generational Juan Soto. He's not wrong. You found out four games in exactly what they were getting in Juan Soto. That we've already found that out.
Yeah, and it's insane because everyone who shit on this trade was their reasoning was that, oh, you only have a year of him. And it's like, what does that, like, what where does that come into, like, where does that come into play where it's a negative thing? We have a year to make it happen.
Yeah.
We have a year to make an impression on him. And we didn't really trade anything for him. Again, I would have traded. You go back after this first four-game series, I would have traded more. If the Padres want to come back to the Yankees right now and say, you know what, we need a couple more prospects for that deal, I would just do it for fun. To just say, yep, it was worth our time. It was worth the lengthy negotiations. It was worth depleting our pitching depth for the time being. Because I don't know on what planet teams that go for it like this are usually praised, right? Oh man, they took a risk. They went after this. This guy's a rental, but you know, we like the guts on this team. We like the direction this front office is going in because you know what? You're putting a fate in your hands. You want to control your destiny and you're going to get one of the best players in baseball. More power to you. Every other team gets fucking praised for that. The Yankees are like, oh, well, you know, it's only 1 year. So enjoy watching them walk in free agency come November. At this rate, if Soto is going to be this influential on the Yankees, I don't see a reason at all why he would go anywhere else.
Is anybody on the Orioles for trading for Corbin Burns? Is anybody like, cannot believe that the 101 win Orioles did that? That is so embarrassing that they traded Brewers day one starter Joey Ortiz and DL Hall, who started game two of the season. I can't believe the Orioles compromised themselves for that. Like you can just throw away years. Like, nobody's worth acquiring, because if they're not here next year, then why are they even here? Yeah, you're not maximizing. I'd love if they traded for Juan Soto with 8 years of control attached, but that's not the Juan Soto that was presented to us, and I'm pretty cool with getting him for this year too.
Yeah, it's more of the same, and that's why I'm going to take the victory lap here, because again, if we lose this series, or if we split this series with a heartbreaking loss yesterday, we are a joke. How's that Soto trade working out for you guys, huh? Oh, he's performing. Nobody else is, right? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a little bit what happened. Like, it was Volpe. It was Oswaldo Cabrera. It was Austin Wells. Austin Wells, 3 walks and 2 hits in 2 games. Like, it was not – the lineup was not balanced in terms of performance and in terms of production. But,
and yet, the Yankees lead all of Major League Baseball through the opening weekend in terms of pitches per plate appearance, which is what they were preaching this offseason, and it's not by a little bit either. So they don't lead the O's or the Pirates in runs per game, but pitches per plate appearance, the Orioles are in second with 4.09. The Yankees are in first at 4.19, lapping the field in terms of pitches seen, in terms of pitchers grinded out, in terms of getting to the bullpen early. They proved they could hit Hader yesterday. 3 days out of 4 he worked, and they got him on the fourth one. Look, they proved they could hit anybody. They got Brian Abreu in this series. They got Ryan Pressly in this series. So don't tell me it was just the middle relievers. But yeah, they did get Parker McClinsky and the guys that they ended up forcing.
Parker Mushinsky, I think.
They got the guys who they forced into the game by getting Hunter Brown out after 4 innings. They're going to be Taylor Scott, who hit Gleyber Torres. That guy was a mess. That guy was a disaster. And we saw him because we forced Christian Javier out of the game. And Christian Javier was pretty efficient, but we still got him out of there and got the middle innings guys. And yes, we got Pressly, we got Abreu, and we got Hader. We got all the untouchables. Each one of them was touched up this weekend. The Yankees bullpen did not allow a single run.
Insane. Astros took a page out of the Yankees book too, talking shit on Twitter after Christian Javier.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Learn your lesson.
Who the fuck do they are?
Who the fuck do you think you are?
Of all the, you've seen this backfire on countless other teams, like rock the Yankees. What was it, a 1-0 game?
1-0 in the sixth. It was like, good night, put you to sleep. Okay.
Sweet dreams.
How long do you think baseball games are, you bandwagon freak?
They forgot about 33% of the game remaining. And then the 2 days prior, the Yankees destroyed their bullpen.
I was in the car, and as SiriusXM radio gives you the home audio feed, so I was stuck listening to the Astros broadcast on Saturday night. Uniquely, and so as insufferable as you'd think it would have been, it was so oddly slanted that you had to really listen to pick up on it. It wasn't like they were, you know, they weren't doing the obvious shots at the Yankees. They weren't like, oh, they're trying to buy a title this year. It looks like they bought Juan Soto. You know, they weren't just like taking, you know, plain shots in broad daylight, but they kept taking these weird little slight they were acting like they were calling Astros Yankees like it was a Harlem Globetrotters versus Washington Generals game, and the Yankees didn't earn a win and wouldn't be getting one because it wasn't scripted. Every time that a play went against the Yankees in some way, there was a double play that Anthony Volpe did not turn that allowed the Astros to take a 2-0 lead because Dubon then doubled in a couple of runs. And the way they called it, it was like Volpe had a little bit of trouble there with the exchange, I think. You look at a slight bobble, and Jeremy Pena was running hard to first the whole time, and he's able to get to first because of his hustle, but also because Volpe had a little bit of a stumble there. That's interesting. And so the whole time I'm thinking, all right, Volpe botched this inning. I watched the play later. It wasn't even perceptible. I did not see a bobble of any kind. They talked about it the whole inning. Then John Singleton at first base, or Jose Abreu at first base, grounded him, clangs in a right field, rolls into the outfield. Did they talk about Abreu making an error? No. They said, oh, he got a bad hop. There's nothing you can do with that. I watched it. There's something you can do with that. Field the ground ball cleanly. Jose Abreu was terrible in that game. And objectively, the highlights you watch, he was awful. Yeah. He is a check swing and gets hit by a pitch, and they just sent him to first base, and they said no swing. You look at the highlight, there's a swing. He obviously went around. The Astros broadcasters didn't mention it for 1 second. It was this odd thing. They kept praising Victor Caratini for saying that he caught minor leaguers in spring training. That's how you know he's serious about getting better. I think every catcher catches minor leaguers in spring training. What are you talking about? The whole game, they're basically talking about how like this. They're calling it like the scripted show. They're saying, you know, they're pointing at every Yankee flaw. They're acting like at one point a ground ball was hit up the middle and Gleyber Torres fielded it, and they called it like he shouldn't have been there, and the Yankees got lucky. It's called infield positioning. They're like ripped up the middle and Torres is there. Throws to first. I don't know where he came from, but that's like bad luck, like a ball bouncing off a pitcher's foot. It was like, no, that's just, we put him there because you hit balls up the middle and we fielded it. They were acting like it'll be by the end of this game, the Astros will have won because the Yankees are deeply flawed. Look at this mistake they made. Look at that strange stance. They were making fun of Wells's, you know, positioning behind the plate. Astros didn't make a mistake in their lives. Kept routinely saying whenever a ball that was close borderline off the plate got called, they kept saying that one is umpire, call it high. Statcast disagrees, but the umpire did call that one high. Every time the Astros got a borderline call go against them, it was a deeply unpleasant listening experience. And ultimately the Astros lost the game and it was not scripted. And if it was, then it was scripted in favor of the Yankees. So I can't get enough this attitude that the Astros have on social media in the broadcast booth. It's supremacy all the way. They're smelling their own farts from the last 7 years of dominance over the Yankees. I get it. You know, you get a 7 straight ALCS and a bunch of World Series. You're going to eventually have this cocky attitude that's like anything that goes wrong for my team is somebody else's fault. And I don't understand. They don't deserve the win because they look worse than we do. They were less well prepared than we are. I don't know. It doesn't compute. How are the Yankees winning this game when we are the Astros? That's what that tweet was. That's what the broadcast was. And oh, look at the scoreboard at the end of the day. We beat you at home 4 times in a row. And guess what? You don't win at home anymore ever. You were under 500 last year on the season at home. And your recent losing streak at home is worse than the A's home record over the past month plus. Mm-hmm. So you might need to look in the mirror a little bit and stop acting superior. Like you've got the supreme pitching. You've got the pitching school. Brent Strom is gone. So you no longer have his bag of substances and tricks, whatever he employed. So good luck figuring out the secret to developing pitching because you did it for many years when you had a guy there peddling illegal substances, and the Yankees will now face him in Arizona. So we're going to see some tough pitching on over the Monday through Wednesday series for sure. But good luck cracking that code. Yankees have Matt Blake, and you have a bag of mud, and it's now gone.
Yeah, the Astros came into the series fully advantaged. No injuries on the offensive side of the ball. You trade Gerrit Cole for Verlander injuries, and then you go deeper down into the rotation, and the Astros still have the advantage. Framber Valdez and Christian Javier are better than our top two starters right now. This is what it is. You lost to Nestor Cortez, who was not ready for an opening day start because of his shoulder issue. You lost to Carlos Rodon, who constantly put himself into trouble but had the guts to get himself out of that trouble. You lost to Marcus Stroman, who barely pitched in the second half of the 2023 season. You lost to Clark Schmidt, who is, I guess Clark Schmidt's good. But either way, in theory, you have the upper hand there with JP France, who's a pretty good pitcher, I think. He had a really good rookie season. So the Astros complaining about this, they're looking for a cop-out because it was an embarrassing start to the season. And now you know how it feels. A lot of years of us feeling embarrassed, a lot of times over multiple times per season against you guys. Every time we had the opportunity to close, even when we won series against you and you managed to come out, you know, winning that last game with some sort of emphatic comeback or embarrassing Yankees gaffe like that, the Altuve bottom of the eighth homer at Yankee Stadium that put them up. The Yankees split that 4-game series, but we're up 2-1 and should have won it. The Chad Green series where they won the series going into the All-Star break and blew the 4-run or 5-run lead in the ninth, and then that derailed the Yankees for the remainder of the season. So, like, even when the Yankees have beaten this team, they have figured out a way to not have the upper hand. This time, now the Astros, they cannot believe the position they're in because how could you start a season off like? How could you start a season going 0-4? Against a team that you hate and have had advantage over for however long it's been. It's been a really long, it's been since 2017. Hasn't changed since 2017.
2015, they came in and beat us in the wild card game too. Yeah. I always neglect that
one. Date it back to there, yeah.
Different Astros era, but they've embarrassed. They've knocked us out of the postseason in 15, 17, 19, 22. And if the Red Sox hadn't gotten past us in 2018, they certainly would have knocked us out of the playoffs in 2018.
Yeah, and you look ahead to the look. What the Yankees did this offseason was smart. Promoting Anthony Volpe last year as early as they did, I think ultimately was the right decision. Could have used another month in AAA, sure. But now he's off to a fast start this year. And I think that's not a surprise at all. Fixed his swing in the offseason, batting 400 now through three games, playing good defense. He is exactly who he is going to be, or who he's been projected to be. This year is going to be the year for Anthony Volpe. Oswaldo Cabrera, we're wondering what's going to happen with him. He ends up getting a shot that we weren't expecting, but seems to me the faith in him is on the right trajectory. I know we didn't have a lot of faith in him because that last year was bad. But now it could just be coming back around because he's not playing the outfield anymore, where he doesn't belong. Never belonged in the outfield, was playing there, probably affected his performance at the plate, playing great defense at third. He held his own at shortstop yesterday. That has been unbelievable. He's hitting, you know, he was getting more hits from the left side of the plate. He's been batting from that side, which is a stronger side. So that's huge. Alex Verdugo didn't do much this series in terms of offense, but he drove in the game-winning run on opening day. That was sack fly in the seventh inning. Great on defense. Trolling Astros fans, which I absolutely love. And the energy after every single win from him, Judge, and Soto has just been so cool. So I know that we were critical of the Alex Verdugo trade for, I think, a number of rightful reasons. He still hasn't been close to coming around offensively or getting to – and look, that's perhaps a tad concerning. I didn't follow him religiously during his spring trainings in Boston, but that was not a great spring training from Alex Verdugo.
And, again, the Boston media was trying to claim that he's already been late to Yankees meetings. Will Fleming – the Sox broadcast was like, I hear he's having some of the same issues in New York with lateness that he had in Boston. And everybody was like, haven't heard that from anywhere else. Where'd you hear that? And it was never mentioned again. So he tried to sow some seeds of discord, and so far so bad, because he's fitting in supremely well. And Aaron Judge targeted him as a guy he wanted. And here he is dogging it up in left field. Not my favorite trade of the offseason.
No.
Also didn't help that it came when we were in the frenzied throes of Juan Soto rumors. And then all of a sudden it was like, Yankees got Alex Verdugo. And everybody who's followed the Yankees for 6-7 years and the way this current regime has operated post-Judge promotion was like, oh, that means we're not getting him. And we pivoted. And they did that with Stroman and Snell a couple weeks later. It's natural to think, oh, we were looking at one megastar outfielder. Instead, we got a different solid outfielder. That naturally means we've just decided to downgrade. And then when that wasn't the case, I don't think we gave Verdugo his due. Or at least, you know, we didn't give him much of a chance, and now we are. Looking forward to seeing the rest of the chance.
I think we gave him a chance. I think we liked the depth at that point. We said, okay, if this is a supplemental move, it's great. We were pissed at first because we were like, this is not what we need right now. We need the heavy hitter move first. We need to ensure, and like, this can't be the potential insurance if we don't get what we need, because this is not going to get us anywhere. And that could have been true. But now him supplementing the lineup, I think left-handedness, look, the change in defense, it's crazy we're even talking about this, but the fact that we have three actual outfielders in the outfield, who would have known? Mm-hmm. He tracks that ball down on opening day, that gapper from Kyle Tucker. Jake Bowers is out there. That's a game-winning double. Willie Calhoun is out there. Oswaldo Cabrera, I know he was okay in the outfield last year, but I don't know if he's getting to that ball. Aaron Hicks is not getting that ball. Aaron Hicks is probably just standing there waiting for the center fielder to get that ball. We can't stress enough how, like, last year was such a disaster. Last year they didn't have guys playing in the right positions. Now there is at least a semblance of that. I know Oswaldo playing third isn't exactly ideal, but they had to do something. John Birdie playing third, not ideal, but DJ LeMahieu's injured, so we have to figure it out.
Take your time with that fracture, by the way. Yeah, take your time. Make sure it's healed up. Do not come back preemptively, because I think You got to ride this Oswaldo hot streak while he's hot, and mm-hmm. you got John Birdie now. So take all the time you need.
Yeah, they clearly have the reinforcements. Again, a bit of an overreaction, but couldn't have asked for a better showing from most of these people in the first four games of the season where it was not catered for us to do well. It just was not. The writing for this was seemingly on the wall because we know how we perform in this environment. It's usually not great, but now they have won seven straight in Houston, which is incredible. I mean, I forgot to mention him, Anthony Rizzo, seeing the ball well. It's not the craziest start to the season, but double, get walking. I mean, it's just exactly what this team needs. They need the depth. They need the players who are somewhat capable. What plagued this team last year was unplayable showings from, you know, 5 through 9 in the lineup for the most part. And you cannot have that. Now there's a bit of a give and take with the bottom and the top of the lineup. You know, you got half the guys at the top playing well, half the guys at the bottom playing well. And then there's a mishmash. I know Aaron Judge is not playing well, but his mere presence in the lineup, whether he's hurt or not, is doing wonders for everybody around him. And you have the infusion of young and old, like Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells, Oswaldo Cabrera. This is the mix that we've always wanted. You know, the Yankees have always felt veteran heavy and too old. And Jeff Passan actually mentioned that on opening day. He's like, I worry about the team's, you know, overall age. I worry about their durability. And like, I'm not going to be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. And now it's not fully dispelled at this point, but the early returns could not have had a better start.
Yeah.
Could not have had a better start. And now we get to talk about good stuff, which is nice.
It's nice. It just feels good. No one is saying the season is over, but again, you can't help but be impressed by this start. If you're still being negative about this start, I don't know what to tell you. 4-0 does not happen very often. 4-0 after being exiled to Houston. That's impossible. The Yankees were set up to die here. They were set up to fail. They were going to get trolled, but they were going to get trolled by the media.
Yeah.
Not just assorted people online for you to ignore. They were going to be the butt of the joke after the first weekend. They were going to be the first team written off because they were going to lose a series on the road at a place where they never play well against mm-hmm. a team set up to go to their 8th straight ALCS, if not further. They were set up to be the center topic on this morning's Stephen A. Smith attempt to talk about baseball, where he clocks in after opening day, just looks at who did poorly, and is like, man, I wish I would have seen more from my Yankees or whatever, and has the least nuanced discussion of baseball you've ever heard in your life. Well, now guess what? 4-0, we don't have to hear that. Instead, we have to hear overreactions from the same media members saying the Yankees are going to win the World Series. How legit are they now they've started 4-0? But I'd rather hear that nonsense, because you know who's not hearing that nonsense right now, getting smoke blown up their bodies? Ooh. Juan Soto and the New York Yankees. They are not listening to media pundits gassing them up. They know that they've got something in that locker room, and they know they've got a lot to prove. This team is playing like a team that was infuriated last year by how poorly they played and have channeled that rage into starting the season on a better foot. And oh, by the way, they acquired Juan Soto in the process to help them do that. That's what they look like. And Oswaldo Cabrera confessed to The Athletic, said he had to change things about his habits and preparation and the way he goes about each at bat, and as an overall, you know, overhaul of his at bats, like he was changing everything that he does in his processes because he watched Juan Soto in spring training. And midway through spring training, he turned it around. And entering the regular season, he looked completely different. And he's a lefty hitter now, not a switch hitter, it would seem. He took Hader left on left yesterday. I don't know the next time he's going to get an at bat from the right side.
Righty. I must have been not paying close enough
attention. Josh Hader. I mean, he went lefty lefty on Josh.
That's wild.
Hader. I think that's the end for Oswaldo Cabrera, the switch hitter. But give all these guys kudos. Give Volpe credit for working walks. Wells, nine plate appearances, 2 hits, 3 walks in this series. He's probably going to be your de facto starting catcher. 2-2 in the opening series makes total sense. Day game after a night game to end it. Trevino obviously got to get that nod. But Trevino is a solid starting catcher. Maybe not a very good starting catcher, an elite backup catcher.
I mean, good, great defense. But yeah, Austin Wells' bat needs to be in this lineup more times than not. It was clear on opening day, like that could have been the difference with them. I think Trevino came up a couple of times in those first 4 or 5 innings with an opportunity to do something. I think one he grounded into a double play, and the other one was, I don't remember what had happened, but if Austin Wells is there, I think something different occurs. Austin Wells is well ahead his of his years, in my opinion. And I think on I think the Yankees can afford to play Jose Trevino behind the plate if they truly feel he's the better game manager with the pitchers when this offense is humming. But when this offense maybe is in the doldrums and needs a bit of a pick-me-up, Austin Wells needs to be logging most of those reps.
Yeah. But just one more thing, which needs to be noted before we sign off.
Sure.
Is Dylan Lawson the worst employee that anyone has ever given a job to in any capacity? I'm not talking about baseball teams or coaching staffs or even hitting coordinators. Just is he the most noxiously terrible communicator and ideator and motivator in the history of management? Because this team went into last season with the hit strikes hard mantra. That was what they were given. Hey, if you see a strike, hit it hard, attack it, look for your pitch. Doesn't matter how long the at bat is or how short it is. If you see a hittable pitch, go for it. And they go, okay. And then the offense is dreck, unwatchable, bottom of the barrel major league offense. Dylan Lawson is asked to defend his work. He can't. He is fired. One of very few in-season firings by Brian Cashman. His first ever in-season coaching firing. This year, they hired James Rowson, somebody who came up through the system, who Aaron Judge knows, somebody who's been a successful hitting coach at different stops, led the Twins Bomba squad in 2019. So it's not as if he doesn't have experience with offenses that are reliant on the home run, which the Yankees intend to rely on the home run. Right? Aaron Judge, 60 homers a couple years ago. Juan Soto, 35 homers. Giancarlo Stanton is pretty much a home run or nothing guy at this point. They're going to hit home runs. They should. Austin Wells probably going to hit you some home runs behind the plate. Oswaldo Cabrera had 20-plus home runs in the minor league level. They're going to hit you some home runs. But clearly, someone who is more comfortable preaching patience, preaching contact, preaching lack of fear when it comes to taking ball four, putting pressure on the pitcher. Somebody coached Anthony Rizzo up to stand close to the dish when he was hit by that pitch to force in a run. Could have been the hitting coach, could have been just Rizzo's veteran knowledge, but either way, he was clearly crowding the plate a little extra. It worked. He got hit by someone who couldn't command the zone anymore. Everything about this offense has taken a 180, and yes, it's weekend one of many. I know that, and there are going to be slumps. And there are going to be weeks where Juan Soto doesn't look very good. And there are going to be weeks where you're questioning this team's direction. Because they grinded out pitchers for four games does not mean they're going to do it for 162. But did they do this even one time last year? I didn't see it. And they were told not to. They were told to ambush strikes. Now they are not being told to attack the first hittable pitch they see. And it's working.
Well, the problem with this team was that they weren't attacking when they should have been attacking, and then they were attacking when they absolutely should not have been attacking. So whatever the layout of the philosophy was terrible. It was implemented incredibly poorly. Again, I don't think Dylan Lawson was good. We had, you know, we sat there for his introductory press conference. None of it made sense. We read previous interviews he had with Yankees beat writers. Nothing swayed us, made us think that anything would change. We sat there and listened to him at Fenway Park talk about, I don't even know what he was talking about. If you put you or me in front of those cameras at Fenway Park, it would have been less of a disaster. Then again, you got Juan Soto in this lineup. You have year two of Anthony Volpe. You have a more experienced Alex Verdugo. You have a reworked Oswaldo Cabrera. You have a healthy Anthony Rizzo. Ostensibly, you would guess that Giancarlo Stanton's stance change has helped a little bit in terms of his approach. Saw a few more pitches, I think, on average this series than we're used to him seeing. So the Yankees have had a lot of factors that have improved their lineup without Dylan Lawson in the picture. But then again, I don't know if Dylan Lawson's approach works with this group either, because We saw the House of Cards collapse in 2022 in the second half, which, you know, call us harsh, but that negated the first half. That negated the first half of play. That's how bad the second half was.
When they got to October, they were lucky to get past the Guardians. They wouldn't have gotten past a singles-hitting Guardians team without Gerrit Cole being Superman in game four and without one Giancarlo Stanton home run in game five. They inched past a team that was barely a playoff team. And then when they faced a real playoff team, they got
destroyed. I mean, this is, he's with the Red Sox now, right? Dylan Lawson, he's in the
minors. He sure is with the Red Sox.
Red Sox fans, you like your prospects a lot. I know that. I know that firsthand. So you better be wary of Dylan Lawson, I guess, maybe doing a little bit too much with what he's got, because I understand at some point Dylan Lawson was maybe responsible for the Yankees farm system kind of turning around.
Swing decisions, we heard. None of it translated from AAA to the majors. So
none of it translated from AA to AAA.
No, it's all hearsay at this point. We heard that what he was doing was a success, but then the guys came up and looked unsuccessful, and then Dylan Lawson got fired.
So something was up. Don't know what it was, but yeah, I would say he is bad. That's my take.
I think he's bad. Well, this was a fun weekend, personally. Yeah.
Enjoyable.
I enjoyed it. It's not the be-all, end-all, but you banked four wins.
No.
Again, it's over.
Still, not a lot of problems, but still problems.
Pitching. Well, Giancarlo Stanton, skinny Stanton doesn't look ready. The pitching didn't provide length, and you don't know if that's first weekend problems or 2024 Yankees problems. I would obviously take another pitcher if they're able to get one at the deadline. It's certainly not watching that first series being like, wow, now we don't have a single deadline need. Great. Mm-hmm. No, it just makes it more glaring because you now know what they could be if they're able to stabilize those innings at the front of the rotation. If they get Cole back, understatement of the year, that'll kind of help. The RISP stuff in the first game was hideous. And then they figured it out. They worked their way through it. They took walks instead of being greedy and trying to hit a, five-run homer in those tough, impossible home runs, gripping it and ripping it. They started taking walks. Rizzo got hit by a pitch that ignited things. The sac fly, as Jez McFly said, is underrated. Saw a few good sac flies this weekend. They haven't had a game where they've just blown the doors off yet either. They scored 7 in the second game because the Astros went kooky bananas and started throwing the ball around. So it'd be great to see them just like explode.
Bludgeon.
At one point, that would be nice. Just like a 9-2 win with like 3 or 4 homers. I would enjoy that. But yeah, we've got some stuff to sort out. But by and large, pretty happy with what we watched this weekend. And these are wins that you don't have to give back. No asterisk on these. In the same way that Astros World Series will be forever tainted, these will not be. 4 wins. They already have them. They cannot be removed. The record starts at 4-0 instead of 0. Everybody starts the season at 0-0. It's the best part about opening day. Well, the best part about the 2024 Yankees is that they started at 4-0. You cannot take those away. And let's keep banking wins. 4 wins in a row. I've never been more excited to see Luis Gil. See what he looks like. They're already 4-0. Let's get another one.
House money, we call it.
House freaking money. Let's get another one. Let's see the lineup today. I bet John Birdie's probably in there again. I bet somebody's getting a day off. I bet Volpe can't keep whatever is in his system down. They were hinting
that get the day off.
They were hinting that somebody else was hurt or had stomach problems, and so maybe somebody else has those and we don't see that person either. Could be Trevino, who knows. Judge should get the day off, I would say, and then people will scream about it. But yeah,
people will scream. There is no reason to scream about it. Judge needs the day off.
Yeah,
he's not swinging properly. The same power is not there.
They're probably going to try to give him the double day, though. They'll give him the third game off and then the day off before the home opener.
Yeah. Double day. Make it happen.
DH him, then center field him, then double day off. But I would give him today off for sure.
DFA him, maybe.
DFA him it's a possibility if he doesn't turn things around. Hey, check back with us on Thursday. We'll let you know if Aaron Judge is still on the roster or if he's been cut loose. In favor of a trade for Esteban Florial, who's on the Guardians opening day roster. That's interesting. Thanks for sticking it out. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, your favorite podcast app. 2:00 Eastern, Mondays and Thursdays. We will be right back here. We have an interview coming this week. We promised it last week. It's actually happening. So stay tuned for that as well. We'll be uploading it to the channel. Actually got 2 interviews this week.
2.
So stay tuned. Not going to announce them because I don't want to jinx them again, which I've already done several times. So just keep your eyes peeled. Good stuff coming on the channel. I'm Adam Weinrub. You can find me on Twitter at Adam Weinrub, and you can't find me on X anywhere because that's not the real name of the app. Thomas Carinante, where can the people find you?
At Tommy's_takes. We are both at the official Yanks Go Yard Twitter account at Yanks Go Yard FS. Head on over to yanksgoyard.com. Plenty of content there. You guys have been great reading us, supporting us. We appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for dealing with the day off Thursday. We had a lot of stuff to cover. We had to be on top of it. A lot of things to juggle, so we're doing our best. But hope you guys had an incredible opening series weekend. We sure know we did. We're happy to talk about it with you after the fact. So next time we'll see you Thursday. We got a couple of fun things in between that we'll release for you over the next week or so. And until then, let's go Yanks at Diamondbacks for a 3-game set and then back home. Let's make it happen.
Excited to come home. The Yankees stink is something I tweeted 1 minute into the opening day game. I don't plan on tweeting that again anytime soon. Pending. TBD the next time I tweet that, because currently I don't think they stink. And I'm excited to see more from them. So until next time, take care, everybody.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.